New legislation takes shape on what tech companies can do with your data. Two powerful lawmakers on Capitol Hill, one a Democrat, the other a Republican, have reached an agreement on a sweeping set of rules governing data privacy. The proposed legislation would establish national standards, superseding a hodgepodge of state laws. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
The agreement is between the chairs of commerce committees in the House and Senate, Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell and Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rodgers. Their draft bill would limit the data many companies can collect and share, and will give consumers the ability to access their data, delete it, or correct it. Some entities would be exempt, including certain nonprofits and businesses with $40 million or less in revenue. The Federal Trade Commission will get new oversight powers, establishing a bureau with the ability to update rules as technologies evolve. Americans would be able to individually sue companies for violations, as would state attorneys general. The new proposal appears to have caught at least some in the tech world by surprise. The Information Technology Industry Council, a trade group, said it supported a set of national standards, but would need to review the proposed bill. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Groups of investors, we call them private equity, are increasingly interested in all the money in healthcare. This is getting the attention of federal officials, including a joint inquiry by the Departments of Justice and Health and Human Services, plus the Federal Trade Commission. Separately, a Senate committee just sent letters to several private equity firms that own or manage hospital emergency rooms, asking for info. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
These days, if you end up in an emergency room, there's a good chance it may be owned or staffed by a private equity firm.
Private equity ownership has grown dramatically in recent decades.
Sabrina Howell is with NYU's Stern School of Business.
About 25% of emergency room departments are staffed by private equity-owned physician companies.
That's more than double what it was just 10, 15 years ago, according to Lauren Adler at the Center on Health Policy at Brookings. And it's raising a number of concerns, including how private equity's focus on maximizing profits is affecting healthcare costs, staffing levels, and patient safety.
There is pretty clear evidence that these companies do increase prices for patients and consumers. But the key questions here are really, what is this doing to the quality of care?
And he says so far, there's no clear answer yet. But it's a big part of what these federal inquiries are trying to figure out. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Staying on the theme of the benefits and costs of healthcare in America, we now turn to paying for medical emergencies. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has one woman's story.
Bankruptcy still carries stigma. So Rhonda, a 48-year-old single mom in North Carolina who filed for bankruptcy, just wants us to use her first name. Her story starts in 2006. She'd taken a job with higher pay, but no benefits.
The bulk of my medical debt came from I lost a child.
Rhonda's daughter was breathing when she was born, but eventually died. Rhonda needed emergency surgery, blood transfusions, and hospitalization. The bills added up.
Losing my daughter was, I think that was a big lump sum. That was like probably like $35,000 or something. It was a lot of money.
Rhonda and her two sons were living paycheck to paycheck. She says she paid what she could on the medical debt, but food and rent had to come first. More doctor bills piled up after Rhonda got COVID and couldn't work for 10 months. Her kids got sick, too. Rhonda started getting phone calls and letters from debt collectors.
So I didn't know how to, like, dig myself out of the issue that I had kind of put myself in. So the bankruptcy was, like, the only option that I really had.
Rhonda filed for bankruptcy last month. She had more than $250,000 worth of debt. Over 90% of it was medical debt, according to one of her lawyers. Women pay more for health care, even if they have insurance. A 2023 study of insured workers from Deloitte, which is a marketplace underwriter, found that female employees spend about $266 a year more out of pocket for health care than their male colleagues. Dr. Kaleni Gebreyes, Deloitte's chief health equity officer, says that adds up.
What our analysis revealed was that employed women pay over $15 billion more per year for out-of-pocket healthcare expenses than men do.
You may be thinking the costs of pregnancy are to blame, but Dr. Gebreyes says women still paid more even after that was stripped out. Because while men routinely need just one procedure with one copay, women's diagnoses can be more complicated. For example, after an irregular mammogram, they need more tests like ultrasounds, and they fork over a copay for each one. In other words, Dr. Gebreyes says copayments are structured for men's care.
Whenever we assume that there's a universal one-size-fits-all, and when 50% of the population is not necessarily part of that one-size-fits-all, we need to re-examine.
Dr. Gebreyes estimates that making health insurance coverage more equitable would cost employers less than $12 per worker per year. I'm Nancy Marshall Genser for Marketplace.
For more of our health and wealth coverage about medical debt, visit marketplace.org. And on this date that the moon will block out the sun across an arc from Mexico through Texas to Maine to Canada, key question is cloud cover. Buffalo, New York gets 100% of this rare eclipse. But AccuWeather is forecasting 94% cloud cover. The Buffalo News has a great headline about this today. It reads, "So you're saying there's a chance, even under clouds, it will get weirdly dark mid-afternoon. I got my spaghetti colander all lined up. Look it up. It works." I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.